Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Monday wasn't a day off for everybody. It certainly wasn't for me, and it wasn't for the Rays, although it was supposed to be. But if you had to spend a day working, like the Rays did, they got it done, man. 4-1, they beat the Red Sox. They win the series 3-1. And Shane McClanahan, not spectacular, walked the first two batters he faced, but was sturdy, as Mark Tompkin wrote, and gets his win. He's down 9-1 on the season. This was like a grinded out series. You know what's weird about this series, Steve? They didn't hit a home run. They had two pulled back on them on Monday.
Yeah.
Balls that were around the pesky pole, one of them, I think, and then another one that was to right center field. They was robbed is what they were. But Josh Lowe hit one, and then Frankie Mejia hit the other one around the pesky pole. But other than that, for the team that leads the majors in home runs to go to that ballpark with the green monster, the monster hit it wicked far, and they didn't get a home run in that ballpark for 4 games and still won 3 of them and should have won 4, but for Jalen Beeks' two-out meltdown in the 6th inning of Game 1. Pretty good.
Yeah, I think Turner for the Red Sox had the only home run of the series today over the monster.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But I think the weather probably had something to do with it, too.
Oh, I'm sure it
cold,
did.
Cold, rainy, just, you know, not good baseball conditions for June 3rd through 5.
Correct.
I mean, we're not talking late April.
No, what are we doing here?
We're talking
global
June.
Warming. What global warming? Yeah. No, the weather's been sketchy in a lot of places.
You know, this November World Series is that they're getting to is going to be great when the northern teams are in it. If June is this way.
Right. Well, you know, up is down. Maybe it'll be warm come November. I'm not really sure.
Well, hopefully it's at the trop anyway, and it's air conditioned and you know, climate controlled.
72 degrees, baby, yep. All the time. But I'm sure the Red Sox are tired of seeing the Rays. What are they now against them this year?
7-1, or 1-7, I think.
Yeah, they're 1-7. Rays 7-1. That's how you win the American League East. That and the fact that you have a 43-19 record at this point. We'll be talking about 50 wins here. It's incredible how quickly they put this together. And they did manage to give some guys a day off, but, you know, it's funny to me that this team has so many ways to beat you that in a series where they don't hit home runs, they were taking extra bases. We talked about the Little League home run that Yanni Diaz kind of forced the other night.
Margot kind of forced that. I mean,
yeah, well, Margot forced it. You're right. Yes, exactly. And well, Diaz was going to second in a hustle play, and they threw it away in the center field. So he was also, but everybody's trying to take the extra base and doing so. We talked about the 30 for 30 steals that they had going into yesterday's game. I mean, I don't know what else you can do as an offense and how deep they are. And even in games where Christian Betancourt is getting some time off, like Frankie Mejia starts swinging a hot bat all of a sudden. And, you know, it really is something that you know, good pitching is supposed to beat hitting, and pitching and defense doesn't go in a slump, and all those cliches are true, especially in the postseason. I'm getting a feel, it's starting to feel to me a little bit like the Lightning when they won the President's Cup and they went to Columbus, and then, you know, it's like all that matters now is the postseason, right? Like, this is great. They're winning lots of games. They're going to win 100. They'll probably win the East. And then you go, okay, well, now what? Now, can they keep this going, you know, throughout the postseason? But man, oh man, is it just the winning, right? Like every game they seem to jump out to a lead. Every game, you know, they seem to put themselves in position no matter how they have to do it, whether it's with home runs, taking the extra base, you know, and the starting pitching for the most part, while they've lost obviously two really good starters, has been fairly solid, you know, and now the bullpen, I think, is starting to round out, you know, itself. And like we've talked about, they're going to get some guys back. just a really fun team to watch right now, you know, and Red Sox fan not having such a good day. Of course, it was cold, but for an afternoon game, you know, Fenway Park was not very packed, and they can't be very happy with what they saw over these last, three or four days with the Rays coming in there and taking three out of four out of them. So, you know, good for them. They keep it rolling, and now they come home, and they've got a home stand. They said, I was listening to Kevin Cash after the game. He was like, yeah, man, it feels like we've been on the road a long time because some of those games were delayed.
Well, Andy and Neil talked about they were in Boston since Wednesday.
Think about that. That's right.
They had the off
That's
day
right.
Thursday
they had a day
in Boston,
off.
And yeah. then end up the game got rained out Friday.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
I mean, they're almost as long as they were in New York, and they played seven games there.
That's right. They played two different teams seven games, and they spent as much time in Boston. This has really been a long road trip. Mm-hmm. Really has. Yeah, and so McClanahan, by the way, 9-1, 2.02 ERA, definitely a contender for starting the All-Star game if he keeps this up.
Now, he's the Cy Young leader right now in the American League. I mean, if you took a straw poll or, you know,
I think so.
And put odds on it. He's the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young at this point. Now, we're at June 5th or June 6th if you're listening to this. So,
sure.
But a really good start. This team is just – it's fun. Like, for years – and we've talked about this, but for years, they've been a really good team built on pitching and defense.
Right.
And fundamentally sound in this, but just not always exciting to watch. This team's exciting to watch.
Right.
Like, not only is it the personalities, and they've always had some personalities, and Willy Adames and G-Man Choi and others, but they back it up now. Like, they hit.
They do. Yeah.
I mean, they're no longer the top team in baseball run-wise. They're second, and we're going to see the top team come in this weekend with the Rangers. I'm really excited to see that series.
That's crazy. What that series is going to be like with those teams scoring like that.
The Rangers actually have scored more runs than the Rays and given up less runs than the Rays.
That's I didn't think that was possible. I mean, but
the Rays run differential is 125.
Yeah.
The Rangers is at 152.
Wow.
And that's going – they're actually playing tonight, so that's before tonight's game. But
yeah.
But, yeah, it's – I mean, that's a team that – who expected them to be 3.5 games ahead of Houston at this point?
Well, right. And Jose Altuve's back, but now he's injured again, so – you know what's going to happen to them. And, you know, they've had – obviously the Rays have had some injuries. So, okay, on Monday you got Vidal Bruján playing, right?
Because Brendan Lau's on the IL now.
Yes, back on the IL. Is it 10 days? Is that what we're doing now, 10?
Fielders are 10 Hopefully days. Not. Pitchers are 15-day ILs.
Hopefully not soon to be 60. So Bruján starts, and right away, you know, he's playing for Lau, and – he makes two great plays. He has this snow cone line driver in the fourth inning that he makes. And then he had a double play that I'm here to tell you, if you're a middle infielder and you get this ball kind of chopped to you and there's a runner busting it between first and second, and it's going to be sort of a bang-bang thing. It's like you have to charge the ball not just to make the play but to also make the tag before the runner goes by you, because – if you got to flip to second, it's hit too slow for a double play. So this is one of those unassisted, then 4-3s. And he timed it up so well, you know, got it on the big hop, tagged the runner through the first base, and that got him out of an inning. You know, like, it's little things like that. I mean, their defense has been terrific. I think I saw – Wander Franco – has, like, I don't know how they calculate this. Was it like 9 run saving outs or something like that? And I think that leads the American League. I mean, just all around the diamond. And they were able to sit a few guys. You know, they were able to give some guys a day off, and then, of course, some guys are injured. So even the depth of their team has produced or is producing. And Cash said, he goes, you know, Brew was great, and you know, They just had some huge plays defensively with Mejia and him. So, yeah, they just keep getting it done, man. And you just expect them. And so it's funny. I turn them on, and it's kind of like in the background. I'm writing. I'm doing stuff. And at no point do you look up and think, oh, I wonder if they've given this up. Now, the bullpen has been an issue, but it's starting, I think, to sort of settle down a little bit. And as they get more guys off the IL, that's going to be even better. You know, Armstrong is back. Maybe Kittredge coming at some point. So
I still didn't like seeing two walks by the bullpen today. Fauché and Poche each had a walk.
No. The walks have been an issue pretty much all year, particularly in the bullpen. They don't make anything easy when they win, you know. But that's sort of who they've been. But they find their way out of it somehow, and you know, for the most part, they get the win. So yeah, man, it's a terrific start, terrific road trip for them, and now they come home, and they're going to be home for a while against two teams that are winning their respective divisions, albeit the AL Central is not that great with the Twins on top right now. That's just a bad division, I think, overall.
Yeah, but there are a couple games above 500, two games above. Everybody else is – I mean, Cleveland's five games below 500. Kansas City would be the worst team in baseball at a 300 winning percentage if it wasn't for the Oakland A's at a 197 winning percentage.
Yeah, I think they've given up. I think they're just packing vans for Las Vegas at this point.
Oakland's gone 2-8 in their last 10, and that raised their winning percentage. So
that's so bad, man. I feel it must be so hard to be an A's fan, and there are legions of them out there. I've spent a lot of time in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a shame that they were unable to get a stadium there after all those years, but there's got to be some hurt people out there right now that have been A's fans for so long.
I mean, there's two teams in baseball at 300 winning percentage or worse.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, the Royals and A's, that's just awful.
And the Royals should never be there, right? I mean, the Royals is a proud franchise that, you know, they should draw well in Kansas City. Even when they weren't winning pennants, they were a baseball town. That makes no sense to me.
Every other team is, I mean, the next worst team, you know who the third worst team in baseball is?
Mm-mm.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, that is shocking. Talk about a baseball town that'll draw 3 million people, you know, come hell or high water.
Yeah, that's one you didn't expect. I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to win the division this year.
But they're never
I still
that
think
bad.
The Brewers are the best team there, although the Pirates are tied with them, but.
Right.
But, yeah, the Cardinals being that bad, that's woof.
Yeah, you just don't see it. That's a proud franchise that's been on top for a very long time. So, yeah, it was a good finish to the road trip, of course, and we'll be talking more about the Rays this week as we go along. And we've got some mailbag questions we want to get to in a couple seconds, as well as there's an NFL player who's from Tampa that's in a lot of hot water right now. And it's because of gambling. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. First, I want to tell you guys how to save money on your electric bill. It's called May Electric Solar. They're a family-owned business. They've been operating and installing solar electric systems in the area now for 13 years. There's a lot of these companies out there, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. And plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection. That's for all your appliances. That's what they're calling the May difference. If you visit the Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all their products that conduct on-site testing. You can see exactly what they're going to install. They're going to customize it right to your needs. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, so that means all those people up there on the roof banging in those solar panels, those are Billy May's guys. You know who is doing the job. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long, preserve the quality of those appliances. That's May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862, or you can visit mayelectricsolar.com.
All right, Rick, you teased the story, but former Blake High School standout Isaiah Rogers on the Indianapolis Colts is being investigated for possible violations of the league's gambling policy.
Yeah.
Apparently, made hundreds of bets, or at least over 100.
Yeah, they think more than 100 for sure. And most of them were in the $25 to $50 range, but there's at least one that was in a low four figure bet, so 1,000 or more.
And what makes this worse is apparently some were on Colts games.
Awful to hear that. Now they didn't say whether he bet the Colts to win or lose. That'll be the next big piece of information, obviously. And you know, Rodgers, I mean, the thing about this kid, he started 9 games in 2022, and he was supposed to be a starter this year after they dealt Stephon Gilmore to the Cowboys. So, you know, he was making it, and of course, one of Tampa's own. But there was a report by sportshandle.com, and they said that there's an investigation into a Colts player's, quote, pervasive betting, including wagers placed on his own team. So the NFL did not release the name of the player that they were investigating, although it did come out. And in fact, Rodgers has now sort of done a little bit of a Twitter mea culpa where, you know, he said he's made mistakes. He apologizes. He wasn't specific, but that he was aware that, you know, his name was sort of out there. And he just said, you know, addressing the current reports, I want to take full responsibility for my actions. I know I've made mistakes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to repair the situation. The last thing I wanted to do was be a distraction of the Colts organization, my coaches, my teammates. I've let people down that I care about. I made an error in judgment, and I'm going to work hard to make sure all those mistakes are rectified through this process. It's an honor to play in the NFL. I've never taken the game lightly. I am very sorry for all of this. Not the first person or the first player, obviously, to face suspension because of gambling, although when you hear he gambled not just on NBA games or even football games, but actually gambled on Colts games, that's obviously takes it to a different level. So he is going to miss lots of time, in my opinion, if they find this to be credible and something that he has done. And if he bet against his team, well, hope you have a backup plan because it's going to be a while before you get back in this league. Here's my thought, and it just came to me when I was reading this tonight. And, you know, for the 1,800 players or, you know, if you add practice squad, 2,000 players in the NFL, the funny thing is that, you know, 99% of them always do the right thing. You know, they don't break the rules. They don't get arrested. They don't, you know, that sort of stuff. So the easy thing to say is like, well, look, you know, everybody else knows you can't gamble, and it's posted on every locker room and every clubhouse, big signs. And so, you know, it's such a small percentage of guys who get caught up in this stuff. You should know better, and they should. They get lots of education about it and lots of warnings about it and all of that. However, as Stephen A. would say, I think the NFL has brought this on them. There's two things that are happening simultaneously that is going to make this a more common occurrence, in my opinion. One is that the league has totally embraced gambling. They've always embraced it, but they've done it in a less proactive way. You know, in the past, it was sort of like, here's the betting line. Why do we need that? Well, here's the injury report. Well, why do we need that? For years and years, the NFL has known that gambling is sort of the lifeblood of their sport. It is the perfect sport for television because it is a rectangular field, and most of the TVs I have are rectangular. So it's a good TV sport. People like to gamble. People love football. And that's why they give injury reports. That's why you see point spreads and all that stuff, right? They don't run from it. They know it makes their game popular. That's what fantasy football has become. You know, do you really think that Rashad White needs to be bothered by fans wanting to know how many touchdowns he's going to score so they can get points on their fantasy team? Like, you know, there's an entire industry, television. Hell, I wish I'd have gotten into it. I thought it was not going to take off, little while I know. But, you know, there are TV shows devoted to nothing but fantasy football. Well, as the NFL did things like put a team in Las Vegas, some of their owners invest and or be part owners of DraftKings and other gambling sites. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the train coming down the track, the one that's going to raise the franchise values of all these franchises, mark my word, is going to be the in-house gambling in these stadiums where their patrons are actually going to be able to sit there at their seats and do prop bets as the game rolls on. I just think that it's, you know, in an era now where the other thing and the second thing that has happened is it's way too easy, right? You do it on your phone. And I don't know if you tried to pry the phone out of the hands of anybody over the age of, I don't know, 10 that has one. It's impossible. Like these guys and girls are raised on these phones where you can literally order anything, make cash transactions, and yes, especially They've made it incredibly easy to gamble. So just to pass the time, if it's not TikTok, it's something else. Well, if you're a professional athlete with money and time, you don't always spend it wisely. And gambling, they've accessed these social media platforms so easily that it's just like it's really easy, you know, to do. And I think you're going to see a lot of it. I don't think that – I mean, I'm sure they'll make a big deal out of this, and I'm sure there'll be more education and more seminars for their players. But the league wants it both ways. They really do. And I'm not advocating that players bet on games, much less the teams that they're playing on, because the minute – and I mean the minute people think that the results aren't what they appear to be, that there is some sort of lack of integrity in these games, your league is done. You know?
Well, and
it's just done.
Do I believe the NFL wants it both ways? Sure. But the biggest thing is they don't want anybody to question the legitimacy of the game. So that's why and this has been collectively bargained with the players.
Absolutely.
You know, this isn't the NFL We're just partners. Deciding whatever to do. This is collectively
nope.
bargained.
Absolutely.
The players
the
agree
rules
to
are
this,
there.
This rules.
Yes.
And they actually have different rules than the NFL employees.
Mm-hmm.
NFL employees can't bet on anything. Players can. But they can't do it at the facility. And they
can't
bet
do
on
it
the
at
NFL.
The facility,
and they
right.
can't bet on the NFL.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, some of the Lions players didn't bet on the NFL that were suspended, but they bet at the facility.
Yeah, they're gambling on the NBA and stuff like that.
And if you don't know that when you do anything on your phone, who you do that with, they know exactly where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that you were at the facility.
Yeah.
DraftKings and all those apps know exactly where you're at.
They just ping it, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. And they know to, you know, a foot of where you're at. There's no like, you know, no, I was
I
down the street.
Caught,
I was
huh?
down the street from the facility. No, you weren't. They know.
That's right. All right. You're sitting on this bench. Yeah. Well, my phone was. It may not have been me, but my phone was.
But that's where the bet was placed in your name. So
something was being, some buttons were being pushed. I'm not sure who did them. I don't know.
But I think you're going to see more of this, but I also think some of these cases, you know, Calvin Ridley and now this one and other, you know, I think it's going to be eye-opening for a lot of guys. There'll still be some that don't get it and try it.
Should be a cautionary tale, man.
I mean, you know, your window to play in this game is short.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rodgers is finishing the last of a four-year, $3.4 million contract.
And he's a starter.
He was going to be a
starter
this year.
So his next contract...
Yeah,
his next contract could have been that as a starter someplace.
Well, you got to assume he's going to be suspended for the season. I mean, Calvin Ridley was.
I would, yeah.
If not more.
I definitely would.
I mean, for betting on his team.
Because he bet on his team, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, assuming these allegations are true, of course.
Right. Well, he's not acknowledging the specificity of it,
yeah,
but
I mean,
he's saying
he
I
He may
I
not
did
have said
something.
I bet on the Colts, but.
He's saying I screwed up, you know.
Yeah. The league is trying to protect itself to make sure integrity-wise. But like I said, the players have agreed to the punishments with this. They can't complain.
Yeah.
They can't.
No.
You know, you can't
no,
get upset.
Nor should
you can't,
they.
You know, we've talked about this with, you know, other instances where, you know, players get, you know, Devin White getting upset with the fifth-year option. Well, it's collectively
right.
bargained. Your union agreed to this. Your players agreed
right.
to this.
Yeah.
You may
right.
not have been in the league when it was agreed to, but it's been agreed to by your predecessors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same organization that helped you get these big contracts. And I get it, and I think everything you say is absolutely correct. You have to know better. You have to stay away from it. I just think with the access to these mm-hmm. phones and everything else that you can do on them and the social habits of anybody over the age of 10 where they live their lives on them to do everything on them it's way too easy, and you know players better get this message because they have to protect the integrity of the game. And you know, I know which way this league is going when it comes to gambling. There's going to be more and more of it, and it's going to be more out in the open. And it's going to be eventually. I think
all leagues are embracing. I mean, it's a whole revenue stream for them.
It's going to end up at your seat in each stadium, and when that day happens, the money's going to flow. And these franchise values are going to double. I mean, double. If they're $5 billion or $6 billion as the Redskins, the Washington football team sold for, then it's going to be, you know, twice that the next time. But they have to get on top of this, and they have to make examples of these guys, because this cannot occur, even though, on the one hand, the league and its players benefit from the interest in gambling in their sport. But on the other hand, the integrity is too important. But I think it's hard. I think you're going to see more of this, even though they make examples, even though, you know, generationally, I think guys get bored, and, you know, the danger is, if you have, let's say you have a problem gambling, and the people do, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you need to get out of trouble. What do you know better than your football team? And again, they should know that this is going to be traceable, and they should know if you're doing it on your phone, that, you know, and they're going to know where and when and all that. But is it unrealistic to think that somebody would say, "Hey, I know about this week. I know the team we're playing. I know how we're practicing." Like, if you needed to get out of a jam because you had a problem and you lost a lot, you know, maybe not that you're going to do anything to affect the outcome, because that's a different argument or discussion altogether. But maybe you're inclined to say, "I know I'm not supposed to bet against them, or, you know, bet the NFL, but I'm going to do it anyway." You just worry about that. You worry about what kind of compromising situations these guys might find themselves into. But it's very unfortunate, to say the very least. And, you know, I hope this guy at some point down the road gets his career back. But whatever, he's going to be branded, and he's going to, if he's guilty, and he's going to miss, I agree with you, a significant amount of time, which will be tough.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rick, we'll get to some mailbag questions tomorrow, so please send them in at NFL Stroud on Twitter or at SportsDayTB, or you can email Rick at rstroud@tampabay.com. But a couple notes on Monday. There were some big days in Tampa Bay sports history on June 5th. First, 19 years ago, Marty St. Louis scores, 34 seconds into double overtime?
Oh, wow.
To force the Stanley Cup and the Calgary Flames to come back to Tampa for Game 7.
Did you say Did you say 19 years ago?
2004.
Oh, my God. Woo. Okay.
Double overtime. And then 15 years ago, Tampa Bay Rays playing in Boston. James Shields hits Coco Crisp.
Yeah.
And the bench is clear.
Uh-huh.
Shields and Crisp throwing punches at each other. Johnny Gomes in there.
This is awesome.
Kind of sent a statement. Kind of put the Rays on the map a little bit that year. I mean, I wasn't yet, but you know that.
Well, it absolutely did. And okay, so we'll start with the last one first. So this was, you said 15 years ago?
2008, yep.
2008. And that was the year that they went to the World Series,
That's
correct?
Correct, yes.
Now, up until that point, they had coming off a season where they had lost 100 games. And Joe Maddon, of course, is in his second year. Shields is the ace and was a guy that went deep into a lot of games. He was, you know, big game James and complete game James and all of that. But there was this feeling that wherever they went, especially on the road, like that they were the ugly stepchild. You know, like they were not... they're American League East, but they're more of a nuisance. They're a team, they're battering ram for the Yankees and you know, the small market. And no one took them seriously. They like Rodney Dangerfield. I tell you, I get no respect. They got no respect anywhere. On that day, and I'm glad you mentioned Johnny Gomes because he was such an integral part of the turnaround of this franchise. On that day, they said, "Enough. We have had it. We're not going to take it anymore," as the song says. And they balled their fist, and Gomes came from God knows where and threw haymakers. And after that, I'm telling you, whether perception is reality sometimes, they became a very galvanized team, a very close-knit team that was clearly willing to literally fight for each other. And you didn't see teams stop pushing them around. And, of course, they started winning baseball games, not coincidentally. That happened too. And I think it was a turning point. To me, there's no question. And, oh, by the way, how did that American League championship end? With them beating the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Aki Uemura stepping on second base and David Price on the mound for the last out at the prop in a very competitive series. It was sort of a, you know, perfect symmetry when you think back of that game. And I think most of the Rays, if you talk to them today, would say, you know, Johnny Gomes and just all of that had a real turning point for them, not just as, you know, that season clearly, but for the franchise. I mean, they didn't look back. They haven't looked back since.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't quite here yet, but mm-hmm. in talking to, you know, Andy and Dave over the years and many others around it, I mean, that moment
yeah.
was kind of like, we're here.
Yeah.
They were already a good yeah. team, but it was like, okay, now we're done putting up with your crap.
Right, exactly.
You know, now yeah. we're announcing we're here. We're here to stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're no longer the, you know, little sisters of the poor or the you know, the redheaded stepchild of this division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one's taking their lunch money anymore, man. They grew up and they fought back and so the bully got defeated and so, you know, they literally beat them to win the American League pennant and went to the World Series. So yeah, that was huge. The other one, well, I can't believe it's been 19 years. So that was when I realized we had some neighbors that, you know, hockey, Florida hockey, they've been here since 91. It was big. It was really big. And they were great. That team was great, clearly. But it wasn't until that playoff series that I really understood the sport and how exhausting physically and mentally it has to be to win a Stanley Cup. Like, seen World Series runs, seen NFL Super Bowl runs, and yeah, those are different sports and very physical in the NFL and all that. But man, these guys, what they went through to win the Stanley Cup, and every game, you were just on the edge of your seat when you watched them play. And you're right, Calgary was planning the parade. I mean, they had the parade routes planned, and that really ticked them off, by the way. And for them to go to double overtime, and the goal that the St. Louis scores is at such an incredibly ridiculous angle for him to even get the puck to the net. And then, boom, you know, they're back on a plane, and they're bringing Game 7 to Amalie. And we all know what happened. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup. But remember, they had, like, players like Jerome Iginla, and, I mean, that was a really good team. And it looked like they were going to win the series.
Well, and speaking of fights, that series may have turned on a couple games earlier on the Le Cavalier-Iginla fight.
Iginla, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, speaking of the Boston and Rays one, but, you know, who expected Le Cavalier and Iginla to fight in that series?
Nobody. And I remember Ruslan Fenitenko was boarded a couple of times, I think, and came back and scored some huge goals. Like,
scored both games in the Game 7.
There you go. Yeah. It was, and of course, you know, to win their first Stanley Cup and put St. Louis completely on the map in what became then a Hall of Fame career. So much happened as a result of Marty's goal in Game 6, which is still, when you say, Steve, like, I mean, now that they've won several Stanley Cups, three, in fact, and so there's been a lot of moments, but that could still be the biggest singular goal in franchise history, I think.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it extended. I mean, Calgary thought the series was over. They were winning that game.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Cup was going to stay in Canada for the first time in 11 years at that point.
Right.
And, you know, it was going to be over. I mean, you know, you can go through the last couple years, the Lightning. You know, in the bubble, they didn't get to a Game 7.
No.
Now, you had Stamkos' goal in the bubble, which was
his goal
great
was
for many reasons, and he hadn't played, and he came in and only played five shifts, and on the third shift, he scores that goal. and didn't play the rest of the series. I mean, you know, that was an iconic goal for different reasons than St. Louis.
Right. Correct. Yeah, that was a moment. That was that was a goosebump moment for sure.
You know, but in double overtime, the cup's in the building, Calgary's ready to celebrate. I mean, you know, everything about it, and it brought it home for Game 7, in which you ended up winning.
And you got it done.
You know, the other part, it doesn't become so iconic if you don't win the Stanley Cup. Much like Rondé Barber's return against Philadelphia wouldn't be as iconic if they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Very, very similar. I always thought those two plays, because we've done this before, we're trying to rank that, you know, in all sports in Tampa Bay history, like we're, you know, and you got Longoria's, you know, game 162 home run and all that stuff. But even in my mind, for all the years I've covered the Bucks and really for their franchise, like Rondé Barber's 92-yard kickoff return is still the best play in Bucks history because they don't go to Philadelphia and win. Their season always went there to die. It clinched the trip to the Super Bowl, and they were playing the Raiders, which was John Gruden's former team. And even though winning a Super Bowl was unbelievable, and they did it in grand fashion, 48-21 with five interceptions, the harder hurdle was the Eagles, and the greatest game and the greatest player in that game was Rondé Barber. So that singular play. I'll tell you another play, and it's not really on the same realm, but in a way it is. It's like, when they won the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, and they went to Green Bay for the NFC Championship game, limited fans there it was. The throw at the end of the first half to Scotty Miller still looms to me as the one. Like that was the backbreaker for the Packers. Even though, you know, people sometimes forget that Brady threw three picks in the second half, really wasn't that good. It was a 5-point game. Aaron Rodgers could have probably run it in for a touchdown, tried to throw back across his body, and it was an incomplete pass. Settled for a field goal, and, of course, you know, the big second guess happened after that, and they wound up losing by five. But that throw to Scotty Miller just was the ultimate sort of, they're going to do this. Like, they got that last touchdown at the end of the first half and were able to separate. So those two plays. But, yeah, Marty's goal, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in Tampa Bay sports history, 19 years ago. Doesn't seem possible, man.
Which also means tomorrow, on the 7th, is the anniversary of the first Stanley Cup.
That's it. Yeah, man. I know somebody that snuck into Game 7. Can you imagine that? Just went over there, talked his way through, security guard turned his back, boom.
Hey.
Could you do that today? I don't even know if that's possible with all the security and the metal detectors and the things you got to go through. Probably not.
Who knows? I've never tried, so I have no clue.
No, I'm not that guy. I think one of my regrets in my career is that I've not really done any hockey games from a writer's standpoint, but just would have been nice to gravy train on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couldn't the Times have come up with an extra credential just to have me sit in the media room or whatever? That would have been fun. I was kind of sad that I wasn't at a Game 7. I remember those tickets were very expensive as far as my salary range went. But yeah, that was cool week that many years ago. Phenomenal. Good remembrances. All right, so we'll have, you mentioned we'll have the mailbag tomorrow. The Rays are at home. They will begin their series against the
Twins.
Minnesota Twins and the Texas Rangers to follow. So that'll be something to look forward to. All that, and we promise we'll do your mailbag questions tomorrow as well and throughout the week. Thanks for listening. We also have the Bucks OTAs, just to mention that before we go. Be back out there on Tuesday, and the next week, 13th through the 15th, is the final mandatory mini camp. Thanks for listening again. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.